Welcome in to another episode in Coatings Pro Magazine's podcast series. My name is Stephanie Chiswick, and I'm editor-in-chief of Coatings Pro. With us today is John Franco, thinker and founder at Gorilla 76. Headquartered in St. Louis, Missouri, Gorilla 76 was established in 2006 and has developed a specialty in industrial marketing, working with B2B companies. They offer a lot of resources on their website as well as through their social media channels. So we're really excited to talk with John today. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, awesome. We're excited to have you. So why don't you start by giving our listeners maybe a little bit of your background as well as Gorilla 76's background.
Yeah, so as you said, we're an industrial marketing agency. It's pretty straightforward what we do. We help mid-sized B2B manufacturers identify, attract, engage, and drive sales opportunities with their ideal fit customers. We've been around since 2006, technically. That's actually our name. The 7-6 comes from the seventh month, July of 2006. And the gorilla comes from kind of a nod to the non-traditional marketing that we were doing a lot of when we started out. And while budgets have gotten bigger and while things have certainly changed, a lot of what we're doing is still kind of non-traditional in the grand scheme of things. So that's kind of us in a nutshell.
You know, you just made me think, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but I'm sure you can answer this.
No, yeah.
What is the difference for our readers, or listeners rather, between B2B and B2C? I think that it's terms that are thrown around a lot. Not everyone might know the answer to that.
Sure. So B2C, business to consumer, that's the stuff that we all, whether we work for a business or whatever we do in life, is what we are kind of on the receiving end in everyday life. So when we're turning on the Super Bowl and we see Ford has the new Broncos coming out and they're going to run some spots, that's B2C. It's Nike. It's the liquor brands that are whenever they're trying to get you to buy a certain type of six pack of beer. In terms of B2B, that's business to business. And some of those B2C brands are still doing B2B, but a lot of the manufacturing companies, the industrial painting companies, the construction companies, that's obviously B2B. It's a business selling to another business. And there's a lot of similarities, to be honest. At the end of the day, it's always other people that are making the purchase. So I think the brands that do B2B well are the ones that are still tying into emotion and a lot of the things that the B2C world is doing. It's just a lot of times the B2B space, you're in different channels. You're probably not running that Super Bowl ad. You're trying to do a lot of thought leadership, a lot of things that position you as the expert, a lot of written content, a lot of things that are truly helping your buyer versus trying to sell something to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. And I do think it's kind of a key distinction because the people who are listening are probably going to be mostly small to medium sized businesses who are coatings contractors. And so they are selling a solution basically to maybe an asset owner or someone like that. And so that would be more of, like you're saying, the B2C side. But when like a coating manufacturer is selling to the contractor, that's B2C as well, I guess. Yeah, it is an interesting distinction.
Well, and honestly, we've worked a decent amount in the painting space, and there's a ton of B2B going on there. It's the city of St. Louis is looking for bids for, and this might be a bad example using like a government entity, but anyway, they're looking for bids to paint a bridge, right? And so they're gonna, you know, that's where it's important for an industrial painting company to be on the radar and to kind of already have these discussions going and to have already have positioned themselves as the expert in this field. And where we see a lot of companies getting it wrong, it's a lot of companies saying like, look how great, look at us. We're great. We're really good at what we do and you should work with us. And realistically, what should be happening, or not realistically, but more importantly, what should be happening is it should be showing those people why they should work with you. It's something that a lot of our clients struggle with is they're always like, this piece you wrote for us isn't promotional enough. And it's like, wait, time out. That's not the point. The point is to educate and to help. And you know, we're going to do that with thought leadership content. So, and also guys, if you hear a dog in the background, that's my 100-pound Labrador retriever. I was telling Stephanie before we started, anytime I get on a call, he decides to scratch and run around my office and do everything. So I apologize in advance.
It's funny you say that because they just started vacuuming. I live in a condo, so I had to put you on mute while the vacuum went by of all times.
You're totally good.
I think all of those are really great points. I think kind of what you're hitting on is that old adage, or adage maybe is how you say it, the show don't tell. So you want to make sure that that's coming across with the promotional materials. And I'm sure that that applies to the coatings contractors as well.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, a lot of our clients, they're not even doing promotional materials. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still a time and place for print advertising. I mean, that's what keeps our magazines alive, right? Like, that stuff's still important and can be used in a way. But a lot of times what we're trying to do, get them to do, is let's make it less about telling people how great we are, and let's use this print buy to maybe drive them to our website to download a guide we've written about, you know, dew point control in your painting application or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of how we're starting to use some of the old, more traditional channels.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we try to, at least when we're talking about it internally on our B2B side, it's kind of like, you know, there are a lot of different ways to market. So, like you just said, you know, of course, print advertisements, but then you could also do things in social media, and there's all different, you know, outlets nowadays. So they're all different tools. They're not all the solution for this, for one problem, I guess. Is that maybe one
right
of the...
and it's
oh go ahead sorry
yeah I mean well this podcast right I mean it's
yeah
it's this is a great channel, and it's, you know, I love the outdoors. I love to fish and I love to hunt, but I always kind of use the phrase of like the idea of fishing where the fish are, right? Like, you want to be where your audience is, and where you can reach the most efficiently and effectively reach that audience. So yeah, are they watching the Super Bowl? Absolutely, they're going to be watching the Super Bowl, but so are a huge amount of other people. The costs are off the chart, and that's probably not the smartest way to go after, you know, a potential client. Whereas, you know, having a strong web presence, or making sure you're ranking for certain keywords or whatever that might attract somebody online, that could be a much, much better play. And it, you know, that those are the types of conversations we're often having with clients.
Right. I mean, are there any other, you know, challenges or I guess opportunities that are out there right now, especially, you know, for people who might be listening to this in the future? We're still going through, at least in the United States, kind of the isolation, the work from home, all of the pandemic, COVID-19 stuff. So are anything that you can see as far as trends that are going on right now?
I mean, I think more than anything, what we're seeing now is, I know I can almost, I probably disgruntle some people whenever I say this, but it's like the people who have not invested in their web strategy, they're sticking out right now. I mean, trade shows aren't existing right now. Yes, there are virtual trade shows, and there are options, ways around it, but the people who don't have that 24-hour, I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was a great analogy that your website's like a 24-hour, 7 days a week trade show booth, right? Mm. And the people who are coming to it, they're not walking by and like you're trying to talk to them and they don't really want to talk to you. Like, they're seeking you out. They're coming to your website. So like the people who didn't have that in place are probably hurting right now. And, you know, I think that's probably where if I'm a company, granted I'm biased, I work in this space, but that's probably where I'm looking to spend money and to be innovative. And I think there are things like, you know, we have a client that works in the dairy industry and we're doing a podcast for those guys. And it's been incredibly popular. All these farmers are listening to it. It's been shocking how well it's doing. And I think those are the things where it's like, all right, just because we're in this space doesn't mean that we can't be creative or innovative or use some different channels. So anyway, sorry, I'm rambling a bit, but
no.
I think there's a ton going on right now.
Yeah, and I think that's honest. I think that's a great point because, it's the people, or it's maybe the more traditional industries where doing something innovative could make you stand out so much more. Like, talk about bang for your buck, where with your example of the dairy industry, doing something innovative there could probably really make you stand out from the crowd in your quote unquote virtual booth,
Totally, totally. And I mean, again, it's just becoming that thought leader, becoming that person that is the voice of the podcast industry in your space. I mean, I think that's just such a smart play.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth kind of bringing up. You and I are obviously going to be a little bit biased when it comes to this question or answer, maybe is the better way of saying it. But, I hear time and time again how important it is to continue marketing. So even when there's a downturn in the economy, that investing in the marketing of your company is just so important. Can you maybe speak a little bit to that and maybe some
100.
like how to do that, I guess?
Yeah, well, 100%. I mean, the whole purpose of marketing is to make your company more money. So it's almost like watering a plant, right? Like if you're going through a drought, you don't stop watering the plant. If anything, you're going to give it more. And if you're not, if you're pouring something like I don't know, some other liquid form in there to try to water the plant and it doesn't grow, well then your marketing needs to be effective. Whatever you're pouring into it needs to be effective in what it needs. But, I think that's where it's like, all right, let's really step back and look at the spend that we're making and what is our return. I had a conversation with a client yesterday that we're doing a lot of social media work for him, and budgets are getting tight. And I just was like, over the past year, we've seen 35 click-throughs from Twitter to your website. This is probably something we don't need to be spending time on right
Right.
now. Instead, like we're seeing a great return on these LinkedIn ads we're running or this paid search we're doing or whatever. Let's get that water, to use that analogy, and let's pour more of that in this area. So, that's the companies that are doing it right are looking at analytics for the first time in history. Well, I mean, for the past 5 years or whatever, we have access to know what is working and what's not working. It's no longer a guessing game. It's no longer like something from Nielsen ratings telling us how a TV spot's doing,
Right.
or just like kind of lining up when we ran this print ad and now here is our sales report. Did it work? Now it's like real tangible data that is it's insane. I mean, what we can gather now.
Right, and it helps you to your earlier point of kind of knowing where to put that money, or in the analogy, which all plants need water, which one needs water more, maybe right now, or
Right.
what, you know.
Yeah, the cactus, for instance,
Yeah.
it can just kind of hang out on its own, and like we don't want to forget about it because I've managed to kill a cactus in my apartment. Figure that one out. But it's making sure that we're watering the right plant, that we are fishing where the fish are, and we're not in the lake that doesn't have any fish, so to speak. So yeah, we have all that data and intelligence now, which is just it's fascinating to me.
Yes, and I feel like the longer we talk, the more clichés and analogies we're gonna
Oh,
share.
I'm full of them. I got 100 of them, so be ready.
I'm full of them, except I always mix them up, so it doesn't always
Oh, I do that too.
it's not effective.
Yeah,
Oh
no,
man.
I get it. I do the same thing.
I think that's really great though, and I think so for people who might be a little bit wary, the other thing too is you could just, here's another one. You could just like dip your toe in the water and see how it goes. So not to say that experts aren't needed in this area, of course they are, but if you are someone who is 100% unaware of marketing and you want to even just see what it's like, social media is a perfect example of like check it out, see what's
Oh,
going on.
totally. Totally. And what I also always point out is the internet has become the great equalizer. And I was listening to a B2B podcast about this yesterday, and it was for a company that makes small the case study they were using was a company that makes spades that like can lift trees out of the ground to like relocate them, or like at a nursery they'll use them or whatever. They're just like giant shovels, essentially, like really big ones that attach to like your front loader. Well, the company that they were doing, it was they were interviewing an agency owner that does search engine optimization work, So, you know, for the people who aren't aware, the people that make it so your product shows up in Google, which is like so important. But they were a very small company that they were representing, and they were outranking the big dogs in the space, because they had put time and effort into this. So the internet's kind of like, we have a client that is, they're a very large design build construction firm, but they're not the largest by any means in the United States. I mean, they're probably in the top 200. But for most terms related to their industry, they're showing up number one in Google. So the internet like is allowing smaller companies, and I mean they're still a very good sized company, but it's allowing people that maybe think they're too small to compete, or to maybe they're just not big enough to show up, to start to take some of that market share that's out there, which is like, that's the dream for a small company. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of website, so to speak, is on an equal playing game or playing field. There I
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, that's a good point. Before I kind of move on, then, are any other, tips you can think of to share with our listeners as far as marketing? You obviously said take stock of kind of like where, which plants need to be watered.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I would say is don't be scared of it. It does work. And I do, and this is not a plug for Gorilla by any means. I mean, we have a very tight knit niche of kind of who we work with and the budgets required. But even if you're a small client, I would still try to seek out. I mean, there's a lot of agencies that we send work to because our model is like fewer clients, bigger budgets. There are a lot of agencies that think it's safer, and I think it's just two different sides of the coin, but their model is more like more clients, smaller budgets. And so where I'm going with that is like, I think even if I were, I would learn about it on my own, but then I think I would hire an expert to do the work. And a monthly budget, I mean, our clients are typically working anywhere from 7.5 to 12.5K per month. I mean, it really depends, but that's a decent sized budget. I mean, that's a spend that a lot of companies just can't do. I mean, we are ourselves probably couldn't spend that on ourselves for marketing if we couldn't do it ourselves. But there are plenty of opportunities. If you have 1,000 a month or 2,500 a month or something like that, I mean, there are opportunities. There are agencies that will absolutely work with you, and they're gonna save you a lot of the missteps in the long run. And that would be my advice. Like, yes, learn about it, but don't be afraid to, unless you're just on a really small budget, don't be afraid to still hire someone to help you out with it.
Right, either short or long term, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. For people just tuning in right now, if they weren't able to listen to the beginning, I'm Stephanie Chizik, editor-in-chief of Codings Pro, and we are chatting with John Franco, who is a founder at Gorilla 76. So I just wanted to kind of ask you one additional question, John. This is a completely different page of the book, I
Totally.
guess. One of the things that really interests me and you guys, I mean, I've worked with you all in the past before with some of your clients, which you've always been really helpful on, but I noticed on your social media platforms that you have made, and you specifically, and as well as the company, I would think, have made a concerted effort to work in the area of diversity and inclusion. And so I just thought, maybe from your standpoint as a business owner, do you have any tips from your experiences that our listeners might be able to learn from?
Yeah, I think the biggest tip is that what I finally embraced after 37 years of being on this planet is, and I still fail at this often, but I think I've embraced it in this area, is you have two ears and a mouth for, and one mouth for a reason. And the idea of just listening to others was a huge kind of part, at least for me, to understand why the diversity and inclusion work is important. I admittedly grew up as a white male in the middle of the United States, and while I did not grow up wealthy or rich or anything like that, I also lived a very easy life for the most part. And I think starting to listen to the stories of others and realize that there were lots of other people that maybe didn't have the same opportunities I had, or that there are systems in place in this country that unintentional or intentional or whatever it is, that just kind of keep certain groups of people back. That really started to resonate with me. And I know it was very important to my employees as well. And I think it was something that was always in the back of my mind. And I had an employee just straight up ask me, like, John, why do we not have any African Americans that work here? And I couldn't answer the question. And it was certainly never intentional, but I think a lot of our hiring practices, I had never made it intentional to think, well, what are the historically black colleges, universities that I could reach out to post jobs? Like, I'm only posting them at the schools that I think of. Well, there's a whole group of people and numerous different groups of people, not just the African American community, but Hispanic community. I mean, all sorts of communities that they're looking in different places than when I look, where I look. So again, to that idea of fishing where the fish are, if you're only posting jobs in places that people that look like myself or are looking, well, you're probably only going to get that. And I do believe that the we have a diverse company as it is. We have numerous religions, we have numerous countries of origin, we have a variety of things. And I have noticed the more diverse our team gets, it's just there's no arguing that the better we get and the smarter we get. So A, I think it's the right thing to do, and B, I just think it's the smart thing to do. The more perspectives you bring in, I mean, this is a global economy. We're competing and working with clients. Yeah, most of them, they're all based in the United States, but a lot of them sell products all over the world. So I think it's important to have a variety of perspectives. And again, I just think it's the right thing to do. I think it's all of our or duties that if we have been given to, like, what's the, I'll butcher this one, but to who much is given, much is expected or whatever it is. I believe that. And it's like, I think it's our job to try to improve things while we're here. And this was an area where I saw that we could maybe make a difference.
That's great. I mean, I think it's like you said, it's so important not only just from a human standpoint, but also from a business standpoint to
Yeah.
diversify and get all of the new thoughts and ideas. And it's just really I was just so impressed with you kind of putting it all out
Well,
there. And
thanks.
yeah.
Well, I mean, and if I'm being honest, I mean, there's still a ton of work that we need to do. We have the plan and we've recognized it, and we've hired a consultant to come in, and she kind of handles diversity and inclusion at a university level. It's somebody I met through a leadership program I went through, and we hired her to help us come in or to come in and kind of consult us on this process. But, you know, I think very simply what people can do, like, we're a small company, so even if we did add a person of color to our team, or we made a hire that's only one person. And don't get me wrong, I think that's still great, and that's still movement in the right direction. But, you know, maybe areas where we can make a bigger impact is who are we spending money with? What are our vendors like? What do they look like? Are they valuing diversity? I also think we do a lot of volunteering at Gorilla. We do four half days a year where we take the team and we volunteer somewhere. Well, are there organizations that, you know, maybe the reason, and this is something we've learned, is St. Louis is historically black college university. From what I understand, this year graduated one African American marketing major. So the chances that that person is going to apply and work at Gorilla out of the entire world of like where they could be working is slim. But what that does tell me is like maybe kids aren't learning at a young age that they can use creativity or their business sense or whatever they're learning to go into marketing. You know, there's an opportunity with a school down the street from us that is a city school to go in and maybe our team teaches a class. You know, maybe we teach them about marketing at the age of, you know, in fourth or fifth grade or sixth grade to kind of introduce these things to a segment that maybe just doesn't know. So I think those are the ways, like, it's not always all about like just writing a check or just hiring someone. I think
Right.
there are numerous ways you can move the needle in the right direction. And they may be the more effective ways, to be honest.
Right, and it's not lip service to your point, I think. And I would argue too that it's not something that will ever be done. It's a something that we constantly have to be paying attention to because, the needle could always move different ways. It's an important topic.
100% agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for, like I said, for sharing that. I just think it'd be really helpful for some of our listeners to kind of hear firsthand from someone who has or is going through the experience of starting that process. So, if someone wants to reach out to you pertaining to that or the marketing
Yeah.
ideas or anything we talked about today, how can they find you?
Yeah, and I would love for that. I mean, I'm learning about all this like by talking to other people, so I'm more than happy to bounce ideas or just chat or brainstorm with anyone. But my name is John, John, so no H, and then Franco, Franko. I always joke that like any certificate or anything I've had in my life, I always have an H in my name and a CO, but it's a no H in John, and it's KO in Franco. But yeah, people can email me at John, John, at gorilla76.com, and that's gorilla like the animal, so GORILLA76.com. Can call me at 314-332-1020, or I'm on all the social channels. It's just at John Franco. So I'd love to connect. Happy to chat, and trust me, I'm learning as I go here too, and I think those two-way conversations are very important.
Yes, I think we are all constantly learning, hopefully, I should say. And I want to plug your podcast too. I forgot to mention that earlier. You guys have a podcast as well that it's hosted by Joe Sullivan, and that's, I think, you
Yep.
can find on your website, right?
Yep, it's on our website. If you go to gorilla76.com, we're actually, it's a little hidden right now. Well, actually, it's not. It's just in a weird place in the navigation, but we're kind of reworking all that right now. But yeah, we've just launched that, and we're about, I don't know, we're 7 or 8 episodes in, and it's going really well, and we're learning a ton doing that as well. I mean, that's one thing about thought leadership is, yes, you're trying to like make your company more money or whatever, but you learn so much as you go through the process yourself. And I think that's almost often one of the biggest benefits. But yeah, it's called the Manufacturing Executive. And again, if you go to gorilla76.com or if you just search the Manufacturing Executive in any of your podcast platforms, it should show up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, John. Appreciate it.
It's been an honor. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to John Franco, thinker and founder at Gorilla 76. I have worked with his crew, as I mentioned, in the past, and they definitely know what they're doing. So it's great to be able to chat with him to share some of his tips and tricks with you guys. Hopefully, you'll be able to use some of those at your contracting companies. Again, his website is gorilla76.com. He has a ton of resources there, as well as on his social media platforms. So be sure to connect with him on LinkedIn or what have you. So, as always, we've got additional information, podcast episodes, some of those case histories where we do, hopefully, the show don't tell, information for news updates, all good things for coding's industry. So check that out at codingspromag.com. Again, I'm Stephanie Chizik, editor-in-chief of Coding's Pro Magazine. Be sure to check back next week for our next episode in this series. And as always, I hope everyone is healthy and happy codings.